back with this week's First in Tech podcast. I am your host, Technician Sports Editor Andrew Schnitker.
And I'm your other host, Assistant Sports Editor Alec Sawyer.
Well, Alec, we knew it probably had to come to an end sooner or later, but that was still a tough one that we witnessed from my living room last Saturday.
Yeah, it was. I knew this team probably wasn't going to finish the year out winning out, but to go to Notre Dame, I thought they definitely had a chance to win, and they just didn't play well. And, you know, you're going to lose games in a season, especially, you know, looking at NC State. It's not like you're actually thinking a national championship is there, but you win six games and you start to get these hopes. So it's disappointing to go up and get that loss, but losses happen.
Yeah, I agree. And really, this is kind of just a game where, you know, you have to play the hand you're dealt, but a lot of things went against NC State. Losing Nyheim Hines early really takes away a dynamic element from the offense, especially the run game. Reggie Gillespie is not a great back. Jalen Samuels, you have to run him a lot. He's not great at running between the tackles, and you take him out of the passing game. That's not great. When you're going up against a team that has as good a run game as Notre Dame has, probably a top three offensive line in the country, I'd say Alabama and Georgia could probably give them a run for their money there. But, I mean, they gash NC State on the ground, 318 yards, including that 77-yarder from Heisman candidate Josh Adams, who, by the way, is averaging about a first down per carry. And you lose Justin Jones, one of your best run stoppers on the defensive line, and Enduris Bryant, who's his backup for most of the game. This is the kind of game where you need all hands on deck, and to have those injuries along the defensive line especially really hurt NC State in this one, I think.
Yeah, you look at the box score from this one, and that's the big difference, is the 318 to 50 rush yards that Notre Dame put up. And you look at the injuries that State suffers, and that's right where that is. You only get 50 yards, and you don't have Nyheim Hines, and that's what hurts you there. And then losing guys on the defensive line, a Justin Jones against an Notre Dame rushing attack that's going to kill you anyways, no matter how good your defensive line is. Those two injuries really cost NC State, I think, because State couldn't run the ball and State couldn't stop Notre Dame's run, and that was the difference in the game.
Yeah, I mean, it started well for NC State. I mean, that first position for Notre Dame, you get back-to-back sacks, you hit them with the TFLs, you block that punt for the touchdown to start off, and you're kind of thinking, all right, here we go. But offense had a little trouble getting going, especially as the game went along. Ryan Finley does end his interception streak with that 69-yard pick six in the third quarter that really derails any momentum for NC State. I was under the impression that if a defensive player jumped up like the Notre Dame one did on Finley's throw, that the play was supposed to be called offsides. Apparently, that's not the case.
Yeah, it was a weird play, and it sucks for Ryan Finley that that's how that interception streak comes to an end with a play like that. You look at the replay, and it's questionable if he was offsides or not. If that's another position and you force an offensive lineman to move, you get encroachment for causing the false start. It's a weird play because he's on the center, and the center snaps the ball when he jumps. I mean, I'm not sure what really happens on that play, but something not right happened there, and that really killed NC State.
Well, and I'm not a person who likes to talk about officiating, who likes to use it as an excuse for a loss or talk about it as a factor in a game, but Notre Dame got all of the calls in that game. I mean, there was a weak pass interference penalty called against NC State that swung momentum. There was that offsides play. I mean, definitely by far not the greatest officiating performance I have seen in a while.
No, it wasn't, and you can't blame officiating for losses, but you can blame officiating for momentum swings, for changes in the game, and I think that's definitely what happened. That offsides play obviously swings momentum. There's a big pass interference call that was pretty bad on NC State that, you know, gives them a first down, allows the drive to continue. So while that's not the end-all of the game and the decision, those decisions that are iffy do come back and haunt NC State. And that's something that you don't like to see because you have the teams playing, and when the officiating is noticeably there, that really takes away from the game.
Yeah, I would agree with that, but I think the bottom line here is just Notre Dame is a really good college football team. I mean, you looked at the college football playoff ranking that came out Tuesday, they're at number 3. Their only loss on the season is a 1-point loss to Georgia, who, oh, by the way, is undefeated and came in at number one in that initial playoff ranking. So I think this is just, unfortunately, this is just, it's not even that unfortunate. It's just the NC State program is not quite there yet on that level of an elite Notre Dame team. And that's fine. That's okay. The college football playoff for NC State is gone now. It was always a long shot. It's gone. You're not going to make it in with two losses. But this is still a good team. This is still a team that's undefeated in the ACC. That loss doesn't change that. It's a non-conference game. This is still a team with the potential to have a great year. To a team that is still in the driver's seat, depending on what happens this week against Clemson, to win the ACC Atlantic, go to the ACC title game. I mean, this is a team that ends up going 10-2, 9-3, and goes to the ACC championship. That is still a phenomenal season, and a loss on the road to a very difficult opponent in Notre Dame should not change any of that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Apart from the college football playoff, which, as you said, was always going to be a long shot and maybe just a wild dream for NC State fans that probably was never going to happen, this game doesn't matter because no one's going to discredit you for a loss on the road to this Notre Dame team. In the ACC, you're still undefeated. Clemson comes to town, and if you can beat them, you have a two-game advantage on everyone else in your division to make that championship game. So as much as this loss might sting for NC State, for NC State fans, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter that much because, you know, it's not a conference game, and that's where it matters. And as you said, a 9-win NC State team, a 9-10 win team that makes the ACC championship game, I think that would be a season far beyond what NC State fans could have hoped for.
Yeah, and I just think, I mean, both, you look at the season, both losses are to non-conference opponents. You lose to Notre Dame. South Carolina, who, oh, by the way, is 6-2, same record as NC State. I just think the team itself needs to just put that one in the rear view. And they've done a good job with that win or lose this season with their 24-hour rule, which they said came from the Clemson game last year that they end up losing by a field goal, where you basically let that game beat you four times.
Yeah.
So I think if they can stick to that, just turn their focus to what's in front of them now, what they still have left that they can accomplish, because that's still a hell of a lot that they can accomplish, I think they're going to be fine.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And I think this team has enough veteran guys, enough old guys on both sides of the ball that they're already over this one. They don't care about that Notre Dame game. They're focusing on Clemson. They're getting in their practices for Clemson because that's the game that matters now. The ACC matters a lot more than your non-conference games when you're looking at the conference championship, obviously. So I think NC State probably has the players, the coaching staff to put that one completely behind them. And that's what they need to do because they have a huge game coming up this weekend.
Yeah. And just a couple more things from us on that Notre Dame game, just a couple bright spots. Bradley Chubb doing his thing again, three tackles for loss, a sack, a big sack on that first drive of the game for Notre Dame. Kelvin Harmon, who I'm really starting to wonder if his hands are just like magnets that somehow just always seem to pull the football in. Seven catches, 97 yards, and a touchdown. That's a phenomenal piece of NC State's offense right there. So a couple guys do a big games, but other than that, this is a game that I really think, you know, some things go against you, you just flush from your system, move on to what's in front of you, and as we move on to what's in front of us, we've got a treat for you guys today. A familiar face in the First in Tech podcast, Pack Pride managing editor Corey Smith, who joined us a few weeks back, made the trek up to Notre Dame. We're going to hear from him about what being there for that game was like and about what the Wolfpack has in front of it with Clemson this week, so without further ado, let's go to Corey by phone. All right, guys, we are here back with Corey Smith, managing editor of PackPride.com. Corey, how are you doing today?
Doing good. How are you guys doing?
We are good. Be a little bit better if we were talking about a different result from last week. But you went up to Notre Dame. I mean, despite the disappointing loss, it had to be cool to go up and see a game in South Bend. What was that experience like?
Well, it was awesome. I mean, you know, like you mentioned, obviously you want to go in there and have a win to write about afterwards. But it was a unique experience in the sense that, you know, we went and we were actually able, since it was an afternoon game, a 3:30 game, they actually opened it up to the media to come in about 10 o'clock. So we got there, walked on the field, and, you know, just kind of hung out and made the most of the experience. We walked around, and one of the coolest things we got to see was the Lou Holtz statue. never realized that he had exactly 100 wins there at Notre Dame. And obviously you tack on everything that he did at South Carolina and everything that he did at NC State. It was just cool to kind of see, you know, all the history there. And then obviously, like I said, you want the game to go a little bit different than it did, but it was a unique experience altogether.
Yeah, that's cool. Obviously you look at this game and there's some issues that you take away, but what are your takeaways from this game, the way the team performed? What did they do right? What did they do wrong? Why did this result end up like it did?
Well, you know, I think the biggest takeaway that I come away from this game with is, you know, and I didn't actually put this in any of my stories, but I've talked about it a lot with people since, is, you know, just the simple fact that, look, Notre Dame is a really, really good team this year. I mean, you know, you can kind of tack on the fact that, you know, maybe NC State didn't play at full force like, you know, they were expecting to, because they lose Naeem early, they lose Justin Jones, which is an integral part of that rush defense. But look, Josh Adams is as advertised. That offensive line is as advertised. And the defense held up really well against Ryan Finley in that passing attack, mostly because you literally don't have anything as far as the running game is concerned once Naeem Hines is out. So the two things I would say I learned is how good that Notre Dame team is, and also how, you know, rough this offense looks without having a guy like Naeem Hines in the backfield.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the losing Naeem is really what hurt this team early on. But what, you know, being there, hearing from Coach Doran and the players after the loss, what was kind of the sense you got from them right after the game?
Well, you know, I think right after the game, you know, you have that sense of, like, look, you know, this team put so much stock into wanting to win this game. So obviously they were, you know, they were down and a little bit out because they haven't lost in South Carolina. But, you know, I asked pretty much the same question of everybody, because I was trying to write a story on, you know, the fact that, look, this loss literally means nothing if you're thinking of it in the sense of where this team can go in the ACC, because they do have Clemson coming up this week. But, you know, I had right when you mentioned that to them, they immediately lit up, like, yeah, we still know that everything's ahead of us. You know, everybody's asking questions about, you know, Bradley Chubb, of letting Josh Adams go for over 200 yards, and then but then you mention that to him and he immediately is like, yeah, that's exactly what we've got to do. We got to go in and beat Clemson next week. And that's what the team's focus was almost immediately after that loss.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned that everything's still on the table for this team and they can still accomplish really good things in conference. But now you have a quick turnaround and another really tough game coming up this weekend against Clemson. I mean, what does this team need to do to really turn around, turn their focus onto this week and not let that Notre Dame game kind of linger?
Well, you know, as far as the mentality of doing that, I think there's, you know, we've talked about it a lot this week on Pack Pride, is the fact that, you know, look, this team, what they needed to do was, you know, keep this 24-hour rule going that they've had all year. And that actually, you know, Steph Lewis actually told us on our podcast that actually started, that was actually stemming from the Clemson loss last year, where they just let it kind of compound and get the best of them. But mental, you know, mentality wise, I think this team is going to be fine. I mean, the big thing that they really need to do in this game is get healthy enough to be able to compete with the Clemson team. I mean, you know, when you're thinking of a Kelly Bryant, a guy that likes to roll out of the pocket and be able to run the ball, they really need to have Justin Jones there in the middle to be able to give guys like Bradley Chubb and Xavier Street a chance to, you know, to really get outside on that edge, and instead of thinking about run blocking the entire time in the middle. So, you know, having guys like Justin Jones and having Naeem Hines back, I think would be huge for this team. Now, we've heard that, you know, Naeem has the ankle injury. We're hearing on our side that it's a high ankle injury or high ankle sprain. So there's, you know, there's a little bit of kind of wishy-washy results as far as those are concerned. We don't necessarily know, you know, if he's going to be fully healthy for this game, but they have said that he's planning on going. So we'll see what ends up happening in this game. And if they have those two healthy, I think that's a huge part of, you know, potentially winning this game.
Yeah, I definitely think that health is a key factor. What do you tell, you know, NC State fans after the Notre Dame game that are freaking out, like, well, you know, we couldn't get it done, you know, we're not there yet. But really, all that's gone is that long shot college football playoff dream. But there's a lot still on the table for this team, like you mentioned. I mean, this is still a team that can win the ACC. So just what is important to keep in perspective after this one?
Well, I think what's important to keep in perspective here is the fact that, you know, they did play against a team that, you know, was top 10 going into it. And immediately after winning against NC State in the fashion that they did, they jump up into the top five in some polls, and they jump into the top three in the college football playoff poll. So again, we know how good this Notre Dame team is. So now what they have to do is regroup against a Clemson team that is number four in those college football playoff rankings. So you have two teams that theoretically, you know, according to the college football playoff, which is the first time that it's come out, that they're saying, look, these are two teams that could be in the college football playoff. So now what they need to do is regroup, knock one of these teams off. Obviously, they can't go back and win against Notre Dame, so it has to be Clemson. So I think, you know, as far as confidence-wise for NC State fans, you know, look, I'm not saying that, you know, after the Notre Dame game, you shouldn't be upset, but it was another game where it comes down to a few plays. If they don't throw that pick six and lose all the confidence that they had building towards that, I think this team, you know, is looking at competing for that win. But after that point, it just kind of fell apart. So hopefully if they stick with this Clemson game and stick around in it, we could see this, you know, the confidence that this team has that they brought in from every other game previous to Notre Dame come back. And, you know, it could build some confidence back in this fan base that maybe lost a little bit in that Notre Dame game on the road.
Yeah, definitely. And now turning to this Clemson game, what are your expectations for this? How do these two teams match up? And maybe what do you think the final score is going to be of this one?
Well, you know, when you look at how they match up, I think it's a little bit difficult to you know, figure out just solely because of the fact that they do have Kelly Bryant under center. What we saw from this team against Clemson's defense last year was, you know, they put together a pretty good, a pretty consistent run against them where, you know, Matt Days was obviously the lead guy in that game last year for them. And then you look at the fact that Jay Sam had 8 receptions for 100 yards. So they have a lot of the pieces back from that game with the exception of Matt Days. So the confidence wise, as far as that's concerned, I think the offense is fine. It's the defense going against a guy in Kelly Bryant who actually likes to roll out a little bit more than Deshaun Watson. You know, and maybe lost a little bit of their confidence against Notre Dame. I think matchup-wise, this is a game where NC State has to get back to what it did best in the previous 6 games that it won. You know, I'm trying to think of what I was going to say here. As far as what this team does, as far as matchup is concerned with these two, I really think NC State does match up really well against them. But it's one of those things where they have to prove it to themselves again. That, you know, maybe they, like I said, they lost a little bit of that against Notre Dame. But if I had to pick a final score here, if they can contain Kelly Bryant the way they have with Eric Dungy, with Lamar Jackson, and even to a certain extent, they contained Wimbush, but they let Josh Adams go off. So if they can contain the running game and force them to pass the ball, and, you know, a guy like Mike Stevens can hold up, I really think this could be a close game. I mean, if I had to pick a score, I would probably say somewhere along the lines of maybe 17-13 NC State. I don't see a whole lot of scoring in this game. Both offenses are really strong, but both defenses to me are a little bit of a notch above what either offense contains. So I guess we'll see when Saturday comes. But like I said, I think 17-13. For NC State's favor, maybe 17-14 if we're going with touchdowns instead of all field goals for them.
Yeah, that I definitely think I foresee a low scoring game in this one as well. I've got a couple more things I need to look at, but that's pretty much what we've got for you today, Corey. Thank you so much again for coming on the show for the second time and sharing your experience with us.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Am I the first second time person, or am I?
You are the first.
You are the first.
All right. Well, that's awesome.
You also get our special 10th episode commemorative. So
Nice. Do I get a plaque for that? Or
we'll work on that. We'll get back to you.
So- Sounds good. I appreciate it, guys.
All right. Thanks, Corey.
Yeah, thanks, Corey.
Well, Alec, that was another good one. Great to have Corey back. Like we said, our first repeat guest. So great to hear from him about what he experienced up there at Notre Dame.
Yeah, it is. It's cool to get the insight from someone that was at the game in that stadium and really was able to talk to the players right after.
Well, like we mentioned, you know, talking with Corey and talking about ourselves, NC State does have a lot in front of it. Everything it wanted to accomplish in terms of the ACC is still on the table. But this week is the time that you have to come through if you do want to accomplish that with this huge game against Clemson, who I believe you've done a little bit of pre-scouting for.
Yes, I have, and I'm pretty much going to echo everything Corey said. This is going to be a defensive battle on both sides of the ball. Obviously, Clemson comes in as the defending national champion. Their offense was very good last year, but they lose Deshaun Watson, they lose Mike Williams, they lose Wayne Gallman. That's their big three offensive playmakers from last year, and all those guys are in the NFL now. But they're 7-1 with a loss to Syracuse, and that was a game where I think Syracuse just played well beyond what it is normally capable of and was able to take down Clemson. Clemson doesn't have too many great wins. They do have Auburn and Virginia Tech, who are good teams, and you can look at those and say that's great, but you could argue that NC State is as good of a team as they've played. So that's something that could be interesting coming into this game, but they really do live by their defense. They're 7th in the nation in total D, 6th in scoring, and their pass defense is what's really special for them. Teams don't have very much success throwing on them. They're the 7th best in the nation in defending the pass compared to just 18th in rushing, which is still very good. But, I mean, that means for NC State that Nyheim Hines, if he is healthy, is going to have to carry a load because you can't throw on them very well, but you can get some running. Another interesting stat for Clemson is turnovers. They have a turnover margin of 0. They are turning the ball over and getting turnovers at the same mark, but they're outscoring opponents 42-6 after turnovers, so that's something that's really important to keep in mind. They're really good at capitalizing when the other team turns the ball over, so State's going to have to control it. But on the defensive side of the ball, they have a lot of veteran guys in the secondary and on the line. They're a team that has a ton of experience on that side of the ball. Not a lot of turnover from that national championship team last year. So defensively, they're very good. Offensively, they are not as good. Kelly Bryant has played quarterback, and he's having an okay season throwing the ball. He has 6 touchdowns through the air, 65% completion. But where he really is good is with his legs, as Corey said. He can roll out. He's averaging 57 yards per game on the ground, and he has more rushing touchdowns than he does passing touchdowns. And that's really where this Clemson offense makes its money, is the running game. They're averaging over 200 yards per game, not Notre Dame-level good running attack, but they're still a team that knows how to run the ball, and NC State's going to have to find a way to stop that better than they did against Notre Dame. They have a few running backs that kind of carry the load for them, as well as at wide receiver. They have 3 guys in Hunter Renfrow and Ray McLeod and Deion Kane that carry the load. They don't have one playmaker on their offense that you look at, but they have 6 or 7 guys that can break big plays and be dangerous.
Yeah, definitely going to be important for that NC State defense to have all hands on deck. If you're going to be able to win this, you're going to have to stop the run. You're going to have guys like Justin Jones and Bryant back healthy. I think if NC State can do that, the formula for this one is similar to the formula that you needed for Notre Dame, just didn't have, which is to contain the run, force them to be able to have to throw it on third down and turn your pass rushers loose, and on offense be able to move the ball just enough to score enough points to win. I think NC State will be able to do that, but I want to hear from you first. What's your score prediction for this one, Alec?
Yeah, I don't really have too much of a grasp on this game because it's the same kind of thing as you had with Notre Dame. That defensive strategy is the same. Try to limit their run and force them to throw it, and NC State didn't do a good job against Notre Dame with that. It's going to be a low-scoring game. I agree with Corey on that. Clemson still sits in a position where they know they can make the national championship game. They know they can try to get there again. And NC State's, you know, coming off a really hard-fought game. So I don't mean to play the role of a downer here, but I think Clemson probably wins this game in the 17-13, 17-14 range.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. I think, well, I'm going to agree on the low scoring. I'm not going to agree on the result. I think this is going to be a defensive battle, like we've said. I just think NC State comes into this one as a hugely motivated team, motivated by that drubbing by Notre Dame last year, and motivated by, or last week, motivated by a game last season against Clemson that they, if not for a missed field goal, NC State wins. Clemson doesn't win the national championship. I think NC State is going to win this game 20-17 on a late 33-yard field goal.
Getting very specific there. But no, I agree that NC State can absolutely win this game, but it should be a tough one.
Yeah, I think this is really... we're going to see a great one, I think, just like last year, just like we do a lot of the time with the Textile Bowl. NC State fans and Clemson fans alike should have a treat to watch this week. That's about all we've got for you guys this week. I believe next week we're going to try to have a double episode out with both basketball and football. Guests are TBD, but we've hopefully got some good ones on tap. We're still working on that. But for today, I am your host, sports editor Andrew Schnitker.
And I'm your other host, Alex Sawyer.
And we are finished for this week. Thanks for listening, guys.